back. Top of the second hour of today's broadcast. This Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. Again, happy Valentine's Day. I would be remiss, I suppose, if I didn't mention I am Chris Hinckley, your host. We're all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And again, as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. We'll open up the phone lines this hour. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I understand we already missed, didn't get to one call in time, so I apologize for that. Feel free to call back, and we'll grab you. So I've mentioned Patrick Henry's letter to Archibald Blair back in January of 1799, January 8th specifically, of 1799, where Patrick Henry put it best, perhaps, when he wrote to Archibald Blair, "The great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion." And he went on to write, "This is the armor, and this alone that renders us invincible. If we lose these, then we are conquered. Then we are conquered, fallen indeed." So today we seem very little troubled by virtue, morality, and religion. We have been programmed to believe that any opinion that can be shouted loudly enough and long enough becomes the predominating view of the landscape. I don't agree with Piers Morgan on much, but his appearance on, what was it? His appearance on oh gosh, I can't remember. Can't think of it. It'll come to me in a second. On Fox News last night, I have to agree with what he said. I agree with very little that he says. I think he's a shill by most accounts. But Tucker Carlson, that's what it was. His appearance on Tucker Carlson's broadcast last night, he had some very lucid observations, I would say. We'll see if maybe we can round up that video. And speaking of videos, I want to get back on track here, but again, Patrick Henry perhaps said it best when he said, "The great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, and this alone that renders us invincible. And if we lose these, and we are conquered, fallen indeed." When we, you know, I mention this on a regular basis, but do we have any kind of reference point? Do we understand what that means? And I think perhaps one of the best examples that comes to my mind is Thomas Jefferson's September 28th, 1820 letter to William Jarvis. And I refer to it often, but it's interesting, first of all, that we always seem to need a translator. Again, getting back to the issue of fake news, Tim Cook, Mark Zuckerberg, Eric Schmidt, certain people want to control the information and the flow of information that you receive. And that's fascinating, I think. That should draw our attention. And we should be asking the questions why. So why is there always someone seeking to step in as the translator or the interpreter? You know, what I mean is we're not encouraged to just go read the Founding Fathers, for example. Who encourages folks to go read the Federalist Papers? These days, We're encouraged to read the Cliff's Notes version of just about everything. If you go into the truck stops, for example, you'll find books on books. You know, the book, here's how to read the Bible, or here's what you need to know about the Bible, or here's what you need to know about the founders. Books for Dummies, for example, these are kind of a popular thematic element in the narrative that I'm talking about. The dumbed-down version of everything. And in that, you have the translator or the interpreter. And that can be a very dangerous and problematic thing. One might think there is a noble aspect to it, but I would disagree. I would say that we all need to investigate for ourselves, and I think, quite frankly, that there's a spiritual aspect to it. You know, for example, illustration of that concept, perhaps, having a biblical and religious, if you will, connotation, is Moses in the book of Exodus coming down off the mountain, having spoken to God, and in Exodus chapter 20, basically, to paraphrase, Moses comes down off the mountain and says, guys, let's go talk to God. It's fantastic. And they, convicted in their hearts, have a completely different experience. They believe that if they go anywhere near God's presence, then they'll be destroyed because of the conviction and the sin in their hearts, essentially. So they say, basically, what are you, crazy? They say to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we perish, lest we die. They want someone in between because of that conviction. There is a blunting of that conviction that occurs with the translator or the interpreter. And what's supposed to happen, what should be happening, what is encouraged on this broadcast, I will say, hopefully that comes through, is a stepping aside, trying to connect people with that source material, in this case the Bible, obviously. I've made no apologies for the fact that I think everyone should read it, and perhaps beginning with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, get the secret decoder ring, pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal things as you read, because if you don't do that, then it doesn't make sense, just as it says. It's nonsense and gibberish, essentially. I saw, for example, a recent piece, you know, this whole Islam is a religion of peace battle that goes back and forth. Speaking of the contrived conflict from Pike's letter, you see these pieces that crop up every once in a while. Religion, you know, Islam is a religion of peace is ridiculous. And then you have this battle again. It ties right back to Pike's letter, this conflict between political Zionism and political Islam. It's contrived. Both sides are contrived. They're not real. And then everyone else getting drawn in. There is a study done, a text analysis that proves, they say, quote unquote, I say that tongue in cheek, obviously, that the Bible is more hostile and warmongering than the Quran, and pointing to the Old Testament in particular. And sure, there is genocide in the Old Testament, but for a specific reason, one in particular, perhaps a couple or a few more, but that was done away with. The primary reason that you see genocide was became obsolete and unnecessary once Jesus was born. And without getting off into controversial diatribes, in simple terms, it was just so that the devil couldn't take credit for God's work. There was by no means any confusion as to the identity of who Jesus was and what his lineage was, so to speak. And for more on that controversy, perhaps folks could chase down John in Tennessee's what I might call well-founded speculation and or conjecture on that discussion. But again, not to get off on controversial diatribes at the moment. The point is that is the folks that make these studies, their studies are rooted or founded in ignorance to begin with. Do they really understand what they're talking about, what they're studying? And I would say no, probably not on either side of this contrived conflict or discussion between, in this case, Islam and Christianity, or the Quran and the Bible. They're not subject matter experts. A textual analysis proves very little by those who don't understand the text. So the reason for that genocide has been done away with. It is obsolete. It's no longer necessary. Which is why Jesus gave the command. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy. So this conflict that is being fomented, this contrived conflict, is in direct contravention to the agenda set out by Jesus himself. And ironically, these studies further foment a conflict that again is in contravention to the stated commandment of Jesus himself. It's a provocative irony, I would say. But again, I digress. So beware the interpreter. Beware the interlocutor. The liaison. Beware the liaising. But again, Patrick Henry perhaps said it best, the great pillars of all government and of all social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, and this alone, that renders us invincible. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. So an example. I mentioned Thomas Jefferson's letter to William Jarvis, his September 28, 1820 letter to William Jarvis. This was obviously just a few short years before his passing, when both he and John Adams passed on the same July 4th in 1826. But the words that I refer to often, he wrote, I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. Inform their discretion. This obviously gets to the heart of the concept behind Jefferson's bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, for example. The basis, what was to be the basis of public education, if there was such an effort that would be noble, I think it would be Jeffersonian in nature. But we don't see this happening in America today. The more that you look around, the more you see this effort that is perhaps typified in this clamor to silence what some refer to as fake news. Tim Cook saying that it ruins people's minds, destroys people's minds. Just hysteria over controversial or conflicting information. Why not, instead of deepening the anemia that plagues us as a society as a result of a steady diet of propaganda from cradle to grave, instead of stifling dissenting views or alternative, it's interesting, you know, there are alternative facts. Kellyanne Conway got in so much trouble for saying that, and there was such a ripple effect created. Unbelievable. There are alternative facts. You know, you can see that crowd from different points of view. The crowd count is controversial. I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying to look out from one perspective, you know, to look out from the podium, for example, is a different view than set way back behind and significantly higher, a more elevated position. So there truly are alternative facts. There are different points of view that the crowd can be seen from that create a different view. There are different times of shots and things, and some of the time-lapse photography that the New York Times picture seems to validate some of the claims where some of the other pictures don't. In other words, you can look at the same crowd at the same time in different pictures from different points of view. The same crowd, the Trump crowd. And it looks different. The numbers look different to the naked eye. So there are legitimately alternative facts. But that aside, it's interesting. We're not being encouraged to go investigate for ourselves. No, we have to have the interpreter, the translator, always to intercede on our behalf. And we've come to a place in America, it seems, where the tickling ear is ever drawn to the translator, the interpreter, unfortunately. But I'll give you the best example that I know of from that letter. The letter from Thomas Jefferson to William Jarvis when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, Services have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back.
So, statesman, greatest American statesman. You know, we we've had some. The debates wage, and there are those, the notable Benjamin Franklin, some contest Abraham Lincoln. You know, greatest American statesman. There are those that we don't hear much about. James Wilson, for example, was one of the most important of America's founding fathers, but is now one of the least known. James Otis is another, I would argue. There have been articles written, books written, Catherine Millard's book, Great American Statesmen and Heroes, published in 1995, was one. There have been articles. There have been moments, you know, in the wake of the 2008 Ron Paul presidential campaign bid, I think there was kind of a resurgence of interest in American statesmen. There were articles, for example, in 2010, Jonathan Emmert's article published over at News with Views, Why Are There No Great Statesmen Left in America? October of 2010, the last great American statesman warns the last warns the least great, was the title of the article. over at debatepolitics.com. There have been others more recently. The Heritage article in 2012, American Statesman, the enduring relevance of George Washington, for example. The Art of Manliness published an article in 2012 as well, titled Statesman Defined, the Four Qualities of True Statesman. Interesting. But the one example that I would point to, perhaps the greatest American statesman, Thomas Jefferson, arguably, I would say. And his letter to William Jarvis, September 28th, 1820. Again, he wrote, I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. And what was interesting was, speaking of Jefferson, there was perhaps no one ever more so enlightened in America as Jefferson himself. So he was in a good position to speak. Again, remember, from his Bill for the More General Diffusion of Knowledge, to be able to disseminate that kind of information to the public at large would prevent ambition from gaining a foothold in any of its various forms. And that is the objective, to help people in the free exercise of their God-given inalienable rights, as he so mentioned, my paraphrasing from his the preamble to his Bill for the More General Diffusion of Knowledge. But what's remarkable is when you look at Jefferson's letters, this one to William Jarvis, for example, the humility that frames the letter is remarkable. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around more right after this break.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app. a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge...
Of the second hour already of today's Valentine's Day broadcast, this Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. So, Jefferson's letter to William Jarvis, September 28th, 1820. Again, just an outstanding example, I would say, remarkable example of Jeffersonian statesmanship and humility specifically. So, according to Patrick Henry, and I think he was absolutely right, the great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion, particularly so for our constitutional republic, because it connotes a certain sort of behavior and decorum that are essential, vital for the flourishing of a constitutional republic. So as Patrick Henry put it, in his letter to Archibald Blair, January 8, 1799, this is the armor. He wrote, "My friend, this and this alone that renders us invincible. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed." So Jefferson, Jeffersonian statesmanship marked by humility. Jefferson in his letter to William Jarvis, "Being so educated himself," writes, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." It's interesting. This is in contravention to the technocrats' grand dream to control and engineer everything and everyone in society. A dream that we see kicked into high gear coming out of Columbia University in the 70s, Zbigniew Brzezinski, most notably as a co-founder of the Trilateral Commission. And Patrick Wood, co-author with the late, great Anthony Sutton of Trilaterals Over Washington, perhaps the foremost living authority of on the subject on the good guy side of the discussion, is one who obviously has sounded the alarm on this issue, and we would do well to listen to his warning. But again, back to Jefferson's letter to William Jarvis. Jefferson makes these statements, but he is perhaps, again, the best example of his own admonition. He begins his letter, "I thank you, sir, for the copy of your Republican, which you have been so kind as to send to me, and I should have acknowledged it sooner, but that I am just returned home after a long absence." So he is he's beginning with humility. Thanks and an apology for not acknowledging his receipt of Jarvis's letter and information sooner. But then he concludes his letter. It's interesting, framing his opposing view in the most humble terms. He mentions that he disagrees with William Jarvis. But again, if anyone had reason to be forceful or emphatic or resolute in their statement, it was Jefferson. Think about this in comparison to what we hear in the media today. In contrast, unfortunately, I think we have an example. In as much as I agree with some of the sentiments that Piers Morgan expressed on Tucker Carlson's broadcast last night, there is some evidence of the contrast of Jeffersonian statesmanship and humility in that, you know, this ongoing battle with J.K. Rowling speak to in particular. Anyway, we'll see if we get to that. But so by contrast, or in contrast to what we see happening in the mainstream press today, Jefferson concludes his letter on his opposing view with these words: "Pardon me, sir, for this difference of opinion. Asks for pardon and humility. My personal interest in such questions is entirely extinct, but not my wishes for the longest possible continuance of our government on its pure principles." Jefferson, I would say, the anti-technocrat. The anti-establishmentarian, anti-technocrat. "If the three powers maintain their mutual independence on each other, it may last long," he wrote, but not so if either can assume the authorities of the other. If either can assume the authorities of the other. But what about the ultimate usurpation of the administrative fourth branch, hijacking all three and consolidating all powers and functions unto itself, sometimes even in the same individual? Unprecedented, you know. Madison, Jefferson, and the rest would certainly be dismayed to see what kind of usurpation the administrative fourth branch has accomplished. But that pales in comparison, obviously, to what the technocrats envision, because Perikana has written the book on the subject, literally, Technocracy in America. And the object there, the end game, is to ultimately and once and for all usurp the Constitutional Republic, because the technocrats are a benevolent dictatorship and they have our best interests at heart, they say. But I digress. Back to Jefferson's statesmanship. So again, he concludes with, "Pardon me, sir, for this difference of opinion," and he asks candidly, he wrote, "I ask your candid reconsideration of this subject and am sufficiently sure you will form a candid conclusion. Accept the assurance of my great respect." So this is how Thomas Jefferson, arguably in many respects the greatest American statesman, concludes his letter on opposing views. Imagine, if you will, what a difference that kind of virtue, morality, and religion would make as our republic experiences the convulsions it's currently thrust into. This, I think, would make a considerable difference. It really is the foundation of our republic, and without it, I think Patrick Henry was absolutely right. We are fallen, conquered indeed. And that is a most unfortunate reality, which brings us right back to Jefferson's bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, again, that hijacked by would-be ne'er-do-wells, represented most notably by Horace Mann, who was instrumental in the hijacking of Jefferson's bill and warping it into what we recognize today as modern public schooling. So here we are today in America, not learning enough, and even what we learn is being overtly controlled and shaped, or sought to be overtly controlled and shaped. The internet has been called the great equalizer, but we need to develop skills for vetting information. And so again, I would just make the point that, you know, in all things in American society, American life, we seem to suffer from a particular sort of anemia. It's kind of like the elephant that grows up, the circus elephant or the circus bear that grows up tied or chained to a stake next to the tent. And at some point it's big enough that the stake can't hold it. It can no longer hold it, but it doesn't know. It doesn't recognize that it could run off. It hasn't developed the skills. It suffers from a psychological anemia and perhaps even a physical one that prevents it from escaping, or at least escaping too far. And in America, I think we suffer from the same sort of anemia in a variety of ways. Perhaps Bertrand Russell's words from The Impact of Science on Society come to mind. You know, diet injections and injunctions will create the sort of character that authorities deem desirable. That seems to have happened, and Americans seem very little troubled with the with what has happened. What has been done to them, essentially, and what continues to be done. When Tim Cook says that fake news is destroying people's minds, I think that's a little hysterical. Time for a bit of concern. Anyway, I want to give you a little bit of Piers Morgan's appearance on Tucker Carlson's broadcast. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
There is no Muslim ban. If there was, sorry, why don't we This is a talk about the hysteria. I'm talking about 85% of the world's Muslims are allowed into the country.
This is what you do, Piers. You say he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, he's not gonna do all these things. Give him a chance, mate. And you know what I mean?
Why not?
Hitler didn't kill the Jews on the first day. He worked up to it.
Mate.
Well, that was Piers Morgan debating President Trump's travel ban with Jim Jeffries, a comedian from Australia. It was all on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, but Piers was hardly done. After that, he got into a lengthy Twitter spat with Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. Rowling tweeted this: "The fact-free, amoral, bigotry apologism of celebrity toady Piers Morgan is, of course, why it's so delicious to see him told to F off." Piers replied this way by calling Rowling's tweet, quote, "peak foul-mouthed minor celebrity anti-Trump hysteria at its most deliciously supercilious." Rowling retorted this way: "If you'd only read Harry Potter, you'd know the downside of sucking up to the biggest bully in the school is getting burned alive," and so on, for dozens of tweets. But when he isn't battling beloved children's authors on the internet, Piers Morgan is the U.S. editor-at-large for DailyMail.com. He joins us now from Tampa. Piers, that was when citizens of the British Commonwealth go to war with each other, the results are unbelievable. So what was the argument Jim Jeffries was making? F off. What does that mean exactly?
Well, look, it wasn't an argument, was it? He was just shutting me down by telling me to go forth and multiply. I mean, what was extraordinary was we just had a lengthy segment in the show, in Bill Maher's show, about the need for President Trump to be more factual, to always tell the truth, not to be erroneous with his facts and so on. And then we moved on to, I think Bill mentioned it first, the Muslim ban. And I said, well, hang on, it's not actually a Muslim ban. Now, I wrote a column for the Daily Mail when this executive order came out saying I didn't agree with it, I didn't think it was well executed, I thought it was wrong. However, you cannot call something a Muslim ban if 85% of the world's Muslims are allowed into America, even if it comes into effect. So it was just a factual statement. And it seemed to me very important to make that point and make it strongly, given we just had a big debate about facts. Anyway, Jim Jeffries didn't like this, and off he went, you know, effing and blinding and trying to shut me down. He didn't really have any argument to put to me. And then he used the Hitler analogy, and, you know, Hitler started, you know, didn't kill the Jews all on day one. I mean, to me, I'm sorry, but I just find this Hitler stuff with Donald Trump unbelievably offensive for two reasons. One, you know, Adolf Hitler killed 12 million people, including his systematic extermination of 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. This is not something we should be trivially throwing around about other people unless they have done similar acts. Donald Trump, to my knowledge, has not murdered anybody. All right, so this analogy of him being the new Hitler, I find incredibly offensive. I also think it diminishes the scale and importance and horror of what Hitler did. So I think that should just be shut down. But, of course, you try and say this, and if you're not prepared now in the liberal world to say that he's the new Hitler, and you're not prepared to say every Muslim is banned from the country, you yourself then become the devil. And that's what happened to me.
Right. You're complicit in these crimes. So to J.K. Rowling, I'm interested. I want the overview here for a sec. Like a lot of people, especially of her station, affluent, well-known celebrities, she's really upset, like more upset than I've ever seen a class of people ever be upset. What is that about? Why are people, you'd think would be in a pretty good mood because they're insulated from every economic variation you can imagine. Why are they so mad right now?
Well, she's a serial loser. I mean, the more that J.K. Rowling has screamed at people to vote in a certain way, the more her people have lost. So let's go through the checklist of glorious failure. She backed Ed Miliband in the last UK election. He got thumped by David Cameron. She then moved on to back the Remain campaign to stay in Europe. And obviously we Brexited, so she lost that as well. She then threw her substantial political influence behind Hillary Clinton, shouting down anybody that disagreed with her. And of course, Hillary got a drubbing as well from a guy who was a non-politician. So if you're J.K. Rowling, you're three for three. You are the worst celebrity political pundit on the entire planet. So look, I understand her pain. But she is, I think, Tucker, synonymous with this sort of absurdly arrogant, supercilious kind of view of so many celebrities now on the left. And I'm, you know, as you know, I'm more liberal than I am right, but I cannot stand this anti-Trump hysteria, which is now infesting every part of the political debate. Donald Trump.
We'll be right back on that note. Stick around. Final segment coming up.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns.
Trump's been president for less than 1 month. He has not been remotely monstrous. Not by any standards of a dictator. Let's all just take a gigantic chill pill, and let's just see how he plays out. I happen to be quite encouraged as somebody who probably wouldn't naturally have voted for Donald Trump myself, but I've watched his interaction with Japan and with China and with Canada today, right, with my own country, the UK. He looks to me to be somebody easing into the position of president and actually being quite pragmatic and pretty sensible. So why don't we all just stop marching every time he tweets? Stop screaming every time he says anything and just calm down.
I think that's great advice. Or if you're J.K. Rowling, just go to your wine cellar for a month or two. Calm down.
Just go and write about Hogwarts, wizards, whatever they are. I've never read a word of Harry Potter. Just go and immerse yourself.
There you have it. Piers Morgan's lucid remarks framed in a very visceral and vitriolic sort of way, I would say. Unfortunately, and again, that kind of in contravention to the great American statesman Thomas Jefferson, if J.K. Rowling is indeed a serial loser, then Piers Morgan is perhaps a serial political character assassin. And it's unfortunate. We shouldn't see this in America. And obviously, he's not American, but his political punditry obviously is broadcast out to much of the American society. Anyway, for the final shot, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Glenn in Philly. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Parting shot.
Just a couple minutes. Yeah, just do real quick. Flying Hummers and Mike Flynn. Flying
oh,
Hummers.
Boy.
Hummers can't keep going on the ground, let alone in the air. I once spoke with a Marine motor pool sergeant who told me about the three levels of shops they have. They can service them in the field. They have service they can do back at camp, and then they have special garages that can totally rebuild them, which they frequently need. They use thousands of parts. They have lots of computerized stuff. Their computerized transmissions have resulted in them having to drive in second gear all the way across Iraq and things like that.
Yeah.
So the last thing we need, and not to mention we're not doing so well with flying things anyway because the F-35 and the F-22. Why don't these guys need to concentrate on producing something that works?
Right.
Because not much of what they have in the realm of vehicles, either wheeled vehicles or flying vehicles, is working too well these days.
Well, that's why autonomy is the darling of the discussion. You know, Robert Gates, I'm sure you remember Gates said that the F-35 would be the last manned fighter aircraft.
Right, right. Well, they sure, yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, and that's a mess. That's such a clue. I won't even go into it right now.
Exactly.
About Mike Flynn real quick. You know, it's amazing how hypocritical the lefties are. When WikiLeaks releases all kinds of emails with incriminating stuff about Hillary, they focus on who leaked it. With Mike Flynn, there's a leak, but they're concentrating on the substance of the leak instead of how the heck that leak ever got leaked in the first place. Why don't we look into that, too?
Exactly. You know, and that's fascinating. I think, what was it, a Vanity Fair article, I want to say, recently, talking to John Podesta, and they talked about everything but the contents of the emails. How ironic. Talked all around it,
yeah,
but never addressed the fact that the contents of the emails have never been challenged, the veracity of the information. And why aren't those people run out of town on a rail for their dealings? Anyway, great points, Glenn, as always.
All right, thank you. Take care, Chris. Bye.
Thanks, sir. That'll do it for today. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.